Good morning, everyone. A beautiful Sunday morning. The sun is shining. We're going to carry on in the Psalms. We're in Psalm 46 this morning. That's good to hear. A hand clap. Excuse me, I got to get dressed. You like the Psalms? Yeah, good. No, they are good. Hymns of praise and worship. And Psalm 46, it starts with "Our God is our refuge." So I thought that was a good title. I just thought of it. It just came to me. I know you don't remember on Father's Day, I said there's three books in the book of Psalms, but there's actually five. But the one I was in was the third book. But I just wanted to correct that so you know I'm not fallible. But the Psalms is divided into five books, and it kind of mirrors and flows with the Pentateuch, with the Torah, with the Jewish five books of our Bible, which we all know and love. We read every day, Leviticus especially. Yeah, I love when I get onto that those chapters. But these Psalms are put together, and each of the books ends with a doxology, with a song, a hymn of praise. And it kind of divides up the book, and it talks about other psalms are on the ascent up to Jerusalem, and there's different reasons. But over time, it kind of took on this form and shows how important the psalms are in God's people in worship, in worshiping God. So this Psalm 46 is in the second book, just for correction and information. But I have to start here, and I'm going to read it, but I don't know about you, but this season we're in, and even praying with people this morning, you know, the verse 1 says, "The Lord is our refuge," and I can't help but have this thing going through my head that, I don't know, it was a comedian or who started the whole thing, but it was like, you know, we pray for a hedge of protection around us, and I'm like him. I don't want a hedge. I want a fortress. I want a castle with a moat and a dragon that's blowing fire and angels on every side. And when I sit with people this week and we praying and situations going on, it's like, okay, Lord, we need that fortress. Not just some grass and some leaves and a little hedge there. I know what it means, but I want a castle. I want a fortress that we run into, a strong tower that the righteous run into and they are saved. Amen? And so that's what this psalm is all about. Let's read it together. I'm reading from NIV just because it's easier English and my English is not so delicious anymore. It says this, "For the director of music of the sons of Korah, according to Alamoth, a song." And if I could sing it, you want me to sing it this morning? Let's sing. I'm sure somebody has sung this beautifully in these exact verses, and I wished we could sing it. But here it is. "God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble." Hallelujah. I think those words, we need to let them sink in. "Therefore, because of that, we will not fear. Though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, and the mountains quake with their surging, Selah." And that literally means, let's just stop and think about what we just read. Amen? God is our refuge. "There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells." That's among His people. That is us. We represent that city of God today. "There's a stream that makes alive, makes glad." It's what Pete was sharing this morning in the prayer time in the psalm that we're seeing, to come among God's festive people. Hallelujah. And thank God there are those who are rejoicing as not only sorrowing. There's life-giving, as Lori said, when we come together. "God is within her. She will not fall." Hallelujah. "God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar, kingdoms fall, Trump is being shot, but he lifts his voice and the earth melts." Amen? "The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress, Selah. He's our fortress. It's getting better. He's not just a hedge anymore. There's a fortress going on here. How many need a fortress today? Come on, be honest. It's good. He's with us. And he says, because of that, come and see the works of the Lord, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes war cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Hallelujah. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations, and I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Hallelujah. May God bless the reading of his holy, infallible word. Every word is God-breathed and has a reason for being there. And we need to listen to it and we need to hear it this morning. And I feel it in my guts that as we're praying and as just the way the morning went, that we need to hear this truth this morning, that God is our refuge. He is our fortress. So, number one, I got 3 points in a poem. The first thought that comes from this to me is we are better together. If you want to put that slide, how beautiful is that? Psalm 23 says, the Lord is my shepherd. We preached on that a couple weeks back. This psalm says, God is our refuge, yeah. Our strength, our fortress. If you just go through and read how many times, circle it, ours, us, we will not fear, us, our fortress, all the way through the psalm, he's making a point. Is that okay? Yeah. So before I go on further, I just want to challenge you, encourage you with the fact that it's in our togetherness, it's us together, that God provides refuge and strength. He is our refuge. He is mine. He is my Lord, my shepherd. He is mine. We have to have that individual sense of knowing God and a relationship with God. And he is your refuge and he is my refuge. But he's making a point that he is our refuge. And when we come together as a family, Lori preached my message already, that we encourage one another. There's strength in that. There's refuge in that. There's protection in that. And when we come together and we have that sense of our strength, our refuge together, it encourages us like nothing else can. And I got it somewhere in my notes. Let me just stick with what I'm speaking here this morning. But it's this. I've been reading Nathan Finocchio's book, Killer Church. And he starts out with worshiping God, and we must worship God in the way that he wants to be worshiped, the way he must be loved. And he used the example of loving his wife, and his wife's Australian, and they love avocado toast. And I just laughed because that's my daughter-in-law. I think that's all they eat every day, avocado and toast. And we're kind of like, okay. And Nathan's like, I don't get it. They'll pay 26 Australian dollars to have avocado and toast. You know, his example is toast is what you wipe your mouth with and throw away, like when you eat bacon and eggs and like real stuff. But the point is to worship God, to love God in the way that God wants us to love and worship him. And God is very specific about us coming together. But this, I want to quote him for a second here. You know, he says, you know, there are flawed premises prevailing today about the church. You know, they'll say the church is flawed. We need to rethink the whole church. And yeah, there's stuff in history and today, believe me, that we can improve and we need to work on. But the challenge is, the struggle is, these suggest a core doctrines need to be revisited and changed. We need to lengthen the table to include marginalized groups, such as those who reject biblical definitions of sin, or core doctrines such as repentance, hell, etc. So I appreciate a young theologian challenging us to not, you know, move the goalposts, to look at issues, to look at questions that are there, but we do not shake up the truth, the foundations based on cultural acceptance or not accepting. And this is his point. The church, some even say that we should sell the buildings. He's got a bunch of examples. We should emphasize in-person gatherings and so on. I'm up for that. I told Pete, let's just sell this place, and Russell, we'll have a retirement fund. That's fantastic. It doesn't work like that. Yeah, we need to be challenged in our walk and how we present the gospel and being part of life and the world we live in. But may we not move away and shift away and from the basics. So here's the point. God has a purpose and a plan and a strategy for his church. Amen? It's simple. And I don't want to preach this, but let me just go through it. God, first of all, he does the saving. Amen? Ephesians 2. It's him who saves. It's him who calls. He found us. Secondly, God does the adding in Acts 2, verse 47. What does God do? They are saved and they are added to his church. Why? Because God is a father. And he knows the value of family and all of those preaches that we could preach over the years and have preached. And then he says, like Proverbs 68, verse 6, God sets the lonely in families. But then number three, and this is what I was trying to get to, God, his preferred strategy for the local church is physical, closeness. Amen. He wants us to be together. That's what he values. And if you read in Acts chapter 2 and so on, their togetherness. So they're saved, they're added to the church, and then they're encouraged to be together. Romans says that the same in chapter 12. Our first response, verse 1 and 2, is that we worship God with our living sacrifice. We live our lives. But then right away by verse 5, he's already saying that we are a body, and he says we are members who belong to one another. I belong to you, you belong to me, this whole picture of a body. And we could go on and on and on and on this point, but I think we need to make it again and again and again. Whether you're talking about an army, you're talking about a family, you're talking about a temple, you take the seven pictures of the bride of Christ, a bride of the church in Ephesians, it's talking about together, coming together. And in a time when people are saying, I don't know, I question God, I question the church, I question values, what about this, what about that? It's a time we need one another more than ever. It's the time we need to hold to the truths. And we're just singing that amazing hymn at the end as we were worshiping this morning. Just holy, holy, holy is the Lord. The world needs the gospel. And so the reason I call this We're Better Together is, and I'll pull my neck back in, but he says God is our fortress, our strength, our refuge. And the point I want you to take from it this morning is that we're better together. We are encouraging one another. We are strengthening one another. We are helping one another. And I could tell you testimonies right this week in this house. And I appreciate people who pray and hear the Spirit of God and say, this is what I'd like to do for someone. This is what I feel God saying and blessing within the family of God. Yes, there's needs outside and we do what we can as well. But he said, let's begin in the house of God. When you see a brother in need, a sister in need. And so I appreciate that togetherness in. If you want to experience the refuge of God, the strength of God, it's got to be found in the togetherness of his people, of his people coming together. Amen? Amen? Amen. Amen. Thank you. I'm going to use that from camp for the rest. We should have some great big plastic hands that just hang here every time. It's just like... I appreciate that about Frank. He says hello, by the way. He's actually just coming from Uganda. You know, anyhow, bless him. Coming from Uganda, they had a MFI East Africa, and he's spending a few days in Rome with his family in Italy. I'm like, oh, poor guy. And then I talked with George Ibers, who was here a while ago, many of you remember, and they're just coming back from Italy because they're in Albania for a pastor's seminar. They had over 300 leaders from Europe together, and then he was in Italy, and he's all red and sweating. He said he's never been so hot in his life. He said it was like 35, and we're sitting there, my thing was saying 39, but it's a dry heat, you know. It's like, I don't care if it's dry or what it is, it's hot. But I'm anyhow, they said to say hello to you. The second thing, God is with us. Ever present, very present, depending on the translation. Very present, ever present. If that doesn't put some strength in your spine, I don't know what does. He's our refuge, and he says, don't fear, and he says all these things, but he's ever present help in the time of trouble. Very present. Amen? Amen? When everything around is shaking, it's good to know God is with us. Yeah. He's with us. Yeah. And I thought maybe this is where the prayer is going to go this morning, but we've already done it. If your world is shaking right now, I'm telling you, God is with you. He says he's with you. And I don't know about you, but only in the toughest times in my life, when you wrestle the hardest with things and it's shaking. The stuff I don't know what a real earthquake's like. I've been in a few tremors, but I can't imagine when the earth is what we sort of depend on, shakes. Like, I mean shakes to where you can't recognize your neighborhood. You can't recognize the city you live in. I don't know what that feels like, but that's the language that he's using here. But I know people's worlds are being shaken emotionally, spiritually, physically. It's like everything is moving. But all I can tell you is in those times in my life, and I've haven't had some of the things that you are facing. I've had some. I've had dangers. I've had physical. I've had health things. I thought I was dying different times. But in those times, what I want to say is when I actually sensed and knew God was with me. When things are going well, I'm like, I'm doing good. I've figured this out. I've got this. And when things just get shaken, the whole world gets shaken, whether it's emotions or mental or health or physical. He's talking about the mountains moving into the sea. I don't know. I hope we don't see that in our day. But he says God is with us. You want to talk about, you know, shaking worlds? Talk to some of the seniors. I don't know if we have too many in here that go way back, but some pretty close to the time of Moses. No, not that far, but you talk to people who've come through world wars, come through stuff, civil war. I've been in civil war. I told you some of my stories, and it's like in those moments, he's ever present. He's a very present help. I love that about God. And you can speak his word. Michael Eaton used to say, a ghost of a whisper of a prayer. Sometimes you don't even know what to pray. You don't know, like you don't feel like this massive man of God, Moses on the mountain with your hands held up. But sometimes you just cry out and when I put the screen up, that very first slide, the reason I chose that is this guy praying and he's God is my refuge and my strength. It's like, that's when we find God. And we find him in the hard times. We find him in the dry seasons. And I believe we need him more now than ever. If you go back in the Bible, Genesis and so on, the devil has not changed his strategy one bit. His first question is, did God really say that? Huh? Did God? It's like, is God with you? Is God going to help you? Can God get you through this? Why did God? How did God allow this? Like, that's the devil who comes to our minds and tries to just confuse us and get us to, just for a second even, it's like, where's God? How could this be? Like, why did this happen? Rather than, okay, God, I look to you. I run to you. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. I need you. You are my refuge, our refuge. We together. And he wants to get us doubting, wants to get us separated, wants to get us on our own, get us questioning, get us disillusioned, get us asking the tough questions that you know the world is asking. How could God allow us? I'll tell you how God allowed us, because your hearts are hard and wicked, and we need Jesus. We need to run to him. We need to be repentant, forgiving, and loving, and trusting. That's how we're going to get through this. It's not that we're, you know, it's not when the flood comes. You know, Jesus, and these are all preaches, but build your house on the solid rock. Build it now, not when the floods come, for when the floods come. You know, and quoting Carl Drosky or whoever said it, he quoted me, but I think I was quoting him, but you know, you can't grow a beard in a moment of passion. It's like, start growing your beard today. If you want one, if some of you ladies, no, it's like, oh, I'll take a drink right there. I won't say anything about tweezers, anything, no. Build your house on the solid rock, Jesus. And that means every day, and that means now. That means understanding what it means that he's a refuge, that I can come to him and I can put my life in his hands. When you build your personal relationship with Jesus and when you are joined with his body, there is strength. There's peace that comes. And the third one is be still. See, I'm doing pretty good. I'm already on my third point. Thanks, Russell, for the encouragement. Verse 10, he says, be still and know. I love that. God is our refuge. He is our fortress, ever-present help, very present help, however you want to translate it. And be still and know. Those are some of those verses that are life verses. I don't know how else to say it, but they just get quoted. They just come out of the scripture, amen? And this one, be still and know, has to be one of those ones in this chapter. So he says, God's our refuge and our strength. He is our fortress. Though the world shakes and everything crumbles, he says, I am with you in it. I'm very, very near and true in it. I'm with you. Then he says, be still and know. And that's the hardest thing to do. We want to fix it. We want to go after things, challenge things. And there's a place for that. There's a place for going into, you know, I didn't say it earlier, but I'll slip it in here. Part of the problem with church is that sometimes people, man, I hate that when my thoughts disappear, but I'll go back and I'll find it. The devil is a liar. Yes. You know, people use a saying, you know, I don't want religion, I want relationship. And in our minds, religion is duty and rules and yes and no, and you understand what we mean when we say religion. But if you say relationship, for many, there's this false picture of, I'm free, I just want relationships, just me and Jesus. And I like the quote, and that's why I went back to it. Grace is not opposed to effort, it is opposed to earning. And so to have this relationship, whether it's together like this or in a marriage or in a church or whatever, it's not a false idea of freedom. There is structure there in marriage. There is commitment. There is a coming together, amen? And so when we say we want a relationship with God, we come and love him the way he wants us to come and love him. And we become part of his body. We become under his lordship. And all of those things that I have preached my whole life, and I don't want to go back and start preaching. But when he says, be still and know that I am God, it causes us to come back to, okay, what is God saying? Is God Lord of my life? Do I really believe God is sovereign? That's what my notes are. Do we really believe God is sovereign? Really? He says, then if I am God, if I am your refuge and your strength, I am your fortress, if you can trust me, then be still and know that I am God. And I said it already, but that's one of the hardest things to do. Calm down. Lori has been good for me in many times like that, and I've been good for her in many times like that. We're all gonna die. Just calm down. You know, I don't want to use my example in Uganda again, but why not? How many times have you been held up by 700 army men in full fatigue and all screaming and ready to shoot because they're all in trouble and missed the law and didn't stop us at the bridge like they should have, and everybody's just freaking out. And it's just like, I didn't preach this. I just experienced it. Just be still and know God is ever present. He is God. He's in control. And if we're going to die today, I said it already, but that's the truth. And it's, I'm not going to die like a dog. We're going to die like human beings. We're going to die like Jesus' children. Lori, close the door and come here. Sounds very easy now. Very simple sitting here. I could tell you about 50 experiences like that, where it's like, and one of the times for Lori to speak to me, oops, my Father's Day present. See, I'm evaluating that. We were planning to go back to Africa and wrestling with it and this whole life story and no finance and no support and no what and what. All we knew was what God had said. And I remember saying, well, you know, maybe it's not God's will. Maybe, I don't know. You know, you get places where one of you, like we've always said, neither of us, we can't both be down at the same time. One can get down as long as the other one stays up. And I just remember I was wrestling with God and purpose and mission and life and who I am in Jesus. And Lori, at that time, comes to me, be still and know. Be quiet. Shut this. It works. Shut it off. And know that God is in control. We're going back to Tanzania. The date God gave me is September 29th. This was many years ago. I'm not saying that we're leaving on the 29th. But that, maybe that's the Lord. Just calm down. Don't make decisions in the valley that God, you know, spoke to you about on the mountaintop. Remember what he said. Remember what God said on the mountaintop when you're down in the valley fighting the battles and wrestling with the devil himself. Just there's times to just be still and know that God is in control. And Melanie said it in the prayer meeting. Simply, Jesus says, follow me. We're going to talk about that more in the fall, I believe. I know. I'm planning, unless the Lord comes back before then or something, can change my mind. But he says this, Isaiah 26, verses 1 to 4. I like how Isaiah puts it. You keep him in perfect peace. That's in the scripture. That's not just the title. That's the word of God. Verse 1, in that day, this song will be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. He sets up salvation as walls and bulwarks. I like that. The fortress is getting stronger. He's setting it up. Open the gates that the righteous nation that keeps faith may enter in. You keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts you. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord God is an everlasting rock. That's it. Build your life on that rock, that fortress, those walls and bulwarks of salvation. Hallelujah. It's not about how I feel today or about what someone's done. It's about what has God said? What has God put around me? He has given me salvation. This city that I'm part of, this family that I'm part of, he is our refuge. He is our fortress. And he will make a way. He will fight the battle. He will provide when it just seems like there is nothing. He's got a river that flows through the city of God. And if you want to follow that theme up through the Psalms and through the Old Testament, just the amazing river of God, the Spirit of God flowing, the life and the blessing that comes into us personally, but also in our corporate time. I thank Him for that. We are not of those who have no hope or shrink back. Zechariah puts it this way, thus says the Lord of hosts. I mean, this is the Lord of hosts. This is not just Mickey Mouse stuff, you know. In the psalm, he talks about the Lord Almighty. We don't spend a lot of time on each of these words and names and titles of God and what it means, but every one of them is there for a reason. And Zechariah says that, thus says the Lord of hosts. I mean, the big guy. He says, in those days, 10 men from the nations of every tongue shall take hold of the robe of a Jew, saying, let us go with you, for we have heard that God is with you. And I'm telling you, we're living in a day when families, fatherless, motherless, broken, depending on a grandmother, depending on a church member, depending on a family around them, depending on foster, whatever situation you want me to talk about. We live in a day when about 10 people are taking the hem of a garment of someone who's stable, of someone who's got an answer, of someone who's got a hope. And I could use serious examples from this week of just people who tell me something. Give me something to believe. Why is your home like it is? Help me. And we can encourage one another. And we live in that day. And we are supposed to be those people. And it doesn't mean we don't have problems. It doesn't mean we're not going through the exact same challenges as our brothers and sisters. It's just that somehow we have taken refuge in Christ, in God. Somehow we've taken refuge in His body, in His family, in the life that He gives to us. Somehow we've found hope and strength to encourage one another. And we can offer people help and say, yeah, it's okay. And when you go through a struggle, you have brothers and sisters who will lift your hands and hold up your hands. And when you are strong, you hold up your brother and sister. That's how it works. Let me end. How to be still. See, preachers are tricky. I got 3 points, but then there's 9 points under the third one. I didn't mention that. No, I don't. But I know you want them all. Because when we're in Africa... Oh, here he goes about Africa again. No, I was just talking with Brian because it's not even the same now in Ethiopia, but some years ago, and I was there with him, and how many 20s and hundreds of thousands of people do you want me to put in the audience? But just sitting on the hillsides, people, and they had built this big Jagunda mud stage thing. Someone had said you should have a stage that's raised up. So I've never seen a stage like that one ever in my life. It was probably big as this whole church, literally, this sanctuary part at least, and it was about this high from the rug with little skinny sticks, like hundreds of them. And then on top was this big pile of sod, dirt, and that was the stage. And when we're on it, it's like, and I invited the choir. That was the next mistake I made. Because, that's what evangelists do. Would the choir come? And it took them half an hour to get the choir on there. And then we're all just like, okay. And then they sang the worst song I've ever heard in my life. And it's like, okay, forget the choir. Listen, anyhow, why am I saying all that? I don't know. I just forgot. No, I'm saying it because after you've preached for an hour, nobody's moving. They want 3 hours. And after 3 hours, we might take a break. But nobody's going anywhere because there's nowhere to go. So how long do we keep going? How long? I can see by Russell's smile, we could go a long time. If I see PJ's face, we'll probably end right now. No. Be still and know that I am God. We are built upon the rock Christ Jesus. Amen. I like that song and I quoted it even this morning. We speak the name of Jesus over all anxiety, over our cities, over our families, over our lives. Somehow that name just has to settle over us. He's our refuge. He's our strength. So how to be still? Remember what Jesus has done for you. Sabbath rest. And so I don't want to speak on all these. Renew your mind, Romans, and run into his name. Amen. One of the things that I know that we miss a lot is just the ability to wait on God, to be still, and then to just find that solitude, that rest in God. And I'm not talking about on a Sunday morning necessarily. I thank God for the time we just took and prayed and we just waited on God and we worshiped. And there was no rush. It's just we can wait on God. And we need to find those places of solitude. Find the places of meditation. Find the place of spending time in the Psalms and just letting those prayers and those hymns just soak into our life. And we've already prayed it, so I'm not going to give that call again, but you need a refuge. You need a place of strength. You can find it in God, and we can find it with one another and praying for one another. Amen? So bless you this morning. Pete, welcome.